Well, go ahead and take your Bibles, if you will, and open them to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. And we're going to do something a little bit differently. And then we're going to look at our study for a few minutes and be in the Word together, as well as doing some practical things. Ephesians chapter 5, we're just going to look at one verse. Thank you, sister. Thank you for your help. This is talking about the Lord Jesus and his relationship to the New Testament church. And obviously, this is the context is where he's comparing the husband and the wife as associated with the Lord Jesus as being the bridegroom and the church being his bride. But just kind of looking at the overview of it, though, what we want to do is advance ourselves to that time when the church is united with the Lord Jesus. We call it the rapture of the church, the catching away, the snatching away. Are you looking forward to that? And it's, it could happen anytime. But looking at that particular time and at the judgment seat of Christ, and then after the judgment seat of Christ, as Dr. Woodbridge would say, who's long been with the Lord, but a great man. Probably my favorite teacher of all time. I was just an academy student at Bob Jones. And why I was attached to him, I don't know. He was an older gentleman, but the teaching was, if any of you heard of Dr. Woodbridge, anybody? Okay, Jim, okay. I won't call you dad, all right. But Jim has, and I have. But I could not wait to hear Dr. Woodbridge teach. Dr. Woodbridge and then Dr. John R. Rice, one of them would be at one Bible conference and the next one would be at the next Bible conference, and that story in and of itself. But Dr. Woodbridge made this statement and followed up by others like Dr. Gordon Carpenter and others, that at the judgment seat of Christ, everything earthly will be determined for the eternal. Everything earthly will be answered. Everything that's been done on this earth will be destined judged or whatever for the eternal. Now, if it's confessed sin or sins before we got saved, then it's finished. But praise the Lord. And so with that in mind, at the judgment seat of Christ, everything's going to be finished. And the Bible says following the judgment seat of Christ, then it says, and the saints will be dressed in fine white linen. And that goes back in history to Judaism, and that the priests, when they would serve in their priestly office, would be dressed in white linen, purity and holiness before God. Well, the Bible says after the judgment seat of Christ, the saints will be dressed in fine white linen, and then it explains what that is. It says, which is the righteousness of the saints. And it's interesting to me, now I've not looked it up in the Greek, but just looking at it from the English, you'll notice it doesn't say righteousnesses are, okay? It says the righteous, which is the righteousness, singular, of the saints. So we'll be seen as righteous in whom? In Christ, that's right. We'll be seen in Christ. But it'll be that which will adorn us throughout eternity, where nothing defiled enters in. Are you glad for that? Well, let's look at that verse then that talks about it. Verse number 27. This is why we have to, the verse before it talks about sanctify. That means to set apart. Set apart from, set apart to. Set apart from the world, set apart to Christ. All right? Verse number 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it, talking about the church, with the washing of water by the word. The word washing there has the idea in mind. You already know it, I'm sure. But it has the idea of free-flowing water, all right? So the church, as God designed it, is to have that free-flowing water of the Word of God that is the cleansing agent in our lives. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. So that's good for salvation, yes, but it's also good for our daily living. Now, why is that important? The next verse. That he, God, the Lord Jesus, might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That's the way God wants us to be. That's the way God wants us to be. All right, now with that in mind, we're going to do something a little different, okay? And I know you're not students. I know that, but let's just play a little bit. Can we do that? Have you ever played the game word association? How many of you have done that? Okay, word association. All right, I'm going to mention a word and just say it out loud. All right, now you have to say it loud enough. The live stream folks, now live stream, you can do it too, but I may not hear you. All right, so say it loud enough though. So if they're not they're listening but can't see you perhaps, then they'll know. Okay, so when I say a word, I'm going to kind of keep a count, men or ladies, who gets it out first. All right, when I say a word, if you'll tell me not the word that is associated with it, but the opposite of that word. I think they call that antonym. Is that right? That sounds like somebody's name, antonym. All right? But nonetheless, you tell me the opposite. So if I say a word, I want you to, that was bad, wasn't it? All right. But I want you to say a word that is opposite of the word that I'm going to mention. Okay? You ready? Everybody ready? You got to participate now. If you don't participate, I may call on you to sing, okay? All right, so everybody's got to participate, all right? Here we go. Okay, let's see here. Faithful.
Unfaithful.
All right, I heard an echo, but I think it was a faithful to start with. All right, so we got men, one, all right? Miss Wanda, would you keep count for me, please? Now, you'll do it honestly, right? No gender advantage here, all right. Okay, so we have one. All right, let's try another one. What was the answer?
Unfaithful.
That was a tough one, wasn't it? All right. Okay, let's do this. Patient.
Impatient.
I think Miss Larissa got that. All right. It was an unpatient, but it will count that. All right. All right. What was that, Miss Gretchen?
Later.
Ma'am?
Later. I got it.
Oh, you got it. Okay. We'll give it to the ladies. All right. Okay, here we go. Let's see here. Good conscience. Okay, I heard just ladies. Guys, we got to work on your consciences. All right. All right, good conscience. All right, that was unanimous with the ladies there. All right, let's see here. Let's see. Wrath.
Mercy.
All right. I think we had a duet. Was it Larissa and Drew? All right. Oh, and Drew is going, it was the guys. All right. Okay, you'll pay for that on the way home. All right, back to school. All right. Let's see. Miss Larissa, what did you say?
I didn't say anything. I think it was...
Oh, it was Hannah.
Hannah.
Okay. Sorry, bud. What did you say, Hannah?
Kindness.
Kindness. So what did you say, brother?
Happiness.
Happiness. Okay. Can we give them both a point? How are we doing on that?
2-2.
Okay. All right. Let's see. You say, preacher, this is a little frivolous. It is at the moment, but we're going to make some applications of it, okay? So keep with me. All right, here we go. Now, we're not getting anything from the South 40 back here, all right? All right, so this will be from Brother Chris's row back. All right, so Brother Chris's row back. All right, you ready? Okay, here we go. Gracious. There you go. I'll take it. All right, ungracious. All right. All right, so that means not being thankful or gracious. All right, very good. All right, here's a tough one. Now, I didn't think about this ahead of time. You just have to put a prefix on most of these, don't you? All right. All right, here's another one. All right, same group, back 40 here. That means Brother Chris's row back. All right. Organized. I think I heard lady first. All right, we'll give it to the ladies that time. All right, guys. Now, here's one you may have to think about. Prudent. This is for anybody. Prudent. Imprudent. Let's go a little deeper than imprudent on that one, all right? Okay, did I have an answer for prudent?
Frivolous.
I'm not, sorry?
Frivolous.
Should we grant that, guys?
Yes.
Begrudgingly.
Oh, I heard the lady say yes. And I heard it begrudgingly, our half point. No, we'll give it. All right, the ladies, all right. Let's do one or two more, and we'll be finished with this. Diligent. False.
Sloppy.
Oh, sloppy. Okay, all right.
Slothful.
Slothful. Falafel? That's something to eat.
Slothful.
Okay, I'll get it when we get down there. That's the ladies. All right. One more. I'm sorry. I couldn't hear it. All right. One last one. And humble.
Proud.
Ah, I heard the guys on that one. All right. Dare I ask?
Four for the men, seven for the
women. Oh, all right. All right. All right, now if I could borrow your attention for a minute. You say, preacher, that's pretty frivolous for a Sunday night service, and I would agree. Under normal circumstances, we're not here for games. Each one of those, though, that I mentioned came from the back of the book on what it means to be a godly man or to be a godly woman. Now, this is a little booklet we put together about the home, but we have singles here. And the devil's going to tell you, well, you're single. You're not married. Maybe not ever going to get married or used to be married or whatever. And what I'm trying to get across is the principles that we're looking at. Yes, we're looking at relationships and so forth. But the principles that we're looking at through here, we're not going to look at it long tonight, but the principles we're looking at, by and large, are very consistent with what you see when it's in the back of here, where it's giving Bible verse. These are all referenced in the back of your book. In such and such a verse, it talks about women being pure, or men being pure, or diligent, or organized, or holy, or separated, or whatever it is. There's just a lot of those that are back here. So when we're going through these, and we're going to just continue for a while tonight, but as we're going through these, especially those who maybe are single, don't underestimate what kind of an influence you can have on those who are married. But more than that, don't underestimate how important these are for your life. Because as you adapt it, and that's what we're all about, is adapting, of saying, wait a minute, this may have to do with a husband, but I'm a man. Even as 1 Timothy chapter 3 gives all of the qualifications for a preacher. But are most Christian men preachers? No. In the active ministry of preaching behind a pulpit? No. But wouldn't it be good if every young man grew up wanting to fulfill those in his own life? Of saying, I want to be a man who's grave. I want to be a man who in a moment's time can become sober when there's those kinds of settings involved. I want to be that kind of a lady that it says about the wife of a deacon. I may never be a deacon's wife, but I want to be that kind of quality of lady that if the Lord ever opened that door, I'd already be qualified. I just want to make that a part, because these are things that please God. So I just wanted to pause. We have several who are single for various reasons and a number who are not with us tonight that are in that setting. I just want to tell you, this is not flyover country, so to speak. This is ground level, where it will help each of us to grow in the Lord. Now, with that in mind, if you'll turn to the choose part, it's on page 4, and we're just going to go for a while, and then we'll be finished tonight. Page number 4, and we've already looked at commitment without qualification. This is in choosing a relationship. Now, it is applicable before you get married, but it's also extremely important when you are married. And to say, wait a minute, why do we fuss? Why are we off at each other? Why is it like I walk on eggshells around the house and I'm afraid I'm going to say the right thing or the wrong thing and everything's going to fall apart? It's electricity. I mean, it's just you can almost see it in the air. And all I got to say is, and there's going to be an explosion. And so I'm really, really careful that I make sure that I say everything just right, or I just don't say anything at all. Okay? So as we look at these tonight, and we're going to begin with this study on choose, but we've already done commitment without qualification, and we've already, I think that's where we finished. That's as far as we got. So tonight we're going to look, and again, I'm changing this a little bit. And I think some have kind of gotten the idea that we're in school, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, write it down like I say. Hopefully it doesn't come across that way. But I think I've heard that there's some that just don't want to be in school. But the truth of the matter is, teaching the Word of God is part of what I'm supposed to do. And helping families. I never set out to counsel anyone years and years and years ago as a youth pastor, a young youth pastor. And yet one after another, after another, after another, especially in marriages, Christian marriages, almost every one of those are Christian marriages that were in horrible shape. And I don't mean to make it sound like a lot, but it's thousands of hours. He said, that doesn't really mean a whole lot when you've been in the ministry almost 50 years. And if I average 5 hours a week, which I've averaged more than that, I'm sure, that adds up pretty quickly to be a lot of hours. So my point is that these are principles that I've learned through the years from the scriptures and from couples that I've sat across, just like I'm doing presently, sitting across the table from folks and just helping to figure out where are Bible principles being violated. Well, if we can know, wait a minute, that violates a Bible principle, I don't want to do that. And if I ever get married, if I'm single, I want to be ready. Or if I'm already married and I'm breaking these principles, no wonder we're having trouble. And so that's the reason that I want us, with as long as we're building a solid foundation, and that's my ambition with God's help, is to create even more. So it's already there, but I want to firm it up and build that foundation with God's help and your help in my life and in yours too. Is that all right with everyone? So if it looks like I'm just being teachy, just send me a note. But I'm going to relax a little bit instead of just going point one, point two, point three like I have it in my notes. I'll just give you my thoughts. And if you just want to just soak it in, some of you are good at that. And others of us adopt the old adage that a short pencil is better than a long memory. And so you take notes, and that's fine too. So please don't be, and to our listeners, and some are on vacation and some are not able to come, so I hope that'll be a help. All right, I'll try not to say that anymore, but just kind of wanted to just clear the air that my ambition here is not just for couples. My ambition here is for Randy Bray and for Becky Bray, for every single one of us here, Marlon, and just all of us, and to see what God can do. Okay, enough of that yakking. All right, let's go to honesty without hypocrisy and unnecessary. Look at 1 Peter 3:7 as you have it in your booklet there. It says, husbands, dwell according to what? To knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. Okay, and so obviously the devil is always going to be on the other side of that. Well, I'll honor her when she's honorable. Well, that's not what it says. That's not in there. If she's honorable, give her honor. No, it doesn't say that. It says, dwell with her according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife. So the very fact that she's your wife, the fact that maybe you're single, but there's ladies in your life, maybe your mother, maybe a friend, but the very fact that ladies, God says that we're to treat them as a weaker vessel, not that they're sickly, but that just treat them gently and kindly and so forth, all right? And you see there for the husband, and 1 Peter 3 talks about the husband, and then you go to Proverbs 31:12. We've quoted it before, but the Bible says about the virtuous woman that she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things. Okay? All right. So when we're thinking about what we did in the word association and taking the opposite words and all of that, and thinking about, all right, now I gave a word like pure, impure, diligent, sloppy, I think was the word that was used. Okay? When we do that, there's a term for that. They're called mutually what? Mutually what? Exclusive is exactly right. Mutually exclusive means you don't have purity with impurity and they mix and there's no problem. The moment you mix purity with impurity, the purity makes the impure pure, right? No, you know better than that. That's right. So the moment I mix impurity with purity, it immediately defiles the pure. So they're called mutually exclusive. Now, what if that's in my life? What if I have those kinds of things and it's talking about the wife, the ladies are to be pure. Didn't even the passage I was using was not even about married women. It was just about women in general, God's women. So they're to be pure, okay? And men the same way. So as we think about all the word associations we used, and now we look at this, honesty without hypocrisies. Okay, now let me just give you what I put, and again, just soak it in or write it down, whatever you want, but I hope you'll think it through with me. Hypocrisy willingly employs manipulation. Hypocrisy willingly employs manipulation. If I'm hypocritical to Becky, then I'm requiring or I'm making her think that I'm something that I'm not. Now, why am I doing that? Just because it's a game or because I'm faking her out just for faking her out purposes? Or is there something when I'm faking her out, when I'm hypocritical to her, that I'm hoping to achieve something by my hypocrisy? Does that make sense? Kind of? Okay. So here's the statement. Hypocrisy willingly employs manipulation to achieve its ambitions, but it is destined to destroy covenanted trust. It is destined to destroy covenanted trust. And that's a shame. Now, that's not just good for husbands and wives. It's good for all of us. If you have a hypocritical preacher, and I could fake you out, I'm not very good at that, but I would, you know, if I tried to fake you out, okay, then I would be manipulating your thoughts to say, that Bray guy, boy, he really loves the Lord, but I know I'm on the sly. I'm stealing from the kitty, and nobody knows it, okay? I'm not. That's not a confession there, all right? But let's say that, and that's a gross exaggeration there, but let's say that I'm doing that. What am I doing? I'm manipulating your feelings so you'll allow me to continue on doing what I want to do. Is that not true? Yes or no? Yes. And so whether we're talking about marriage, we're talking about your testimony at work, when you laugh at the water cooler, so to speak, and somebody tells a dirty story, and you don't want to look odd. I've been in those settings. I've been in settings where I didn't want to look odd. Okay, I think I've told you that, and no, we'll go into all of it, but I won't even go into any of it. But I've been in those settings like you have. And you want to just, you know, the joke is told. In this case, it wasn't a joke. It was the vice president of the company wanted me to do something, and I wanted to. Well, I've gotten into it. The vice president of the company that I worked for at the time, I'd done well. The Lord had blessed me, and so I earned a trip and so forth. And the vice president of the company came out. Have I told this 14 times already? I've not. Once. Okay. Not 14. All right. So he invited me in. So if I've told it once, I won't go into all the detail. So I just told him, I'd rather not. They were going to have the first meeting in the lounge. And long story short, so you know the story, I thought I was going to get fired, and I felt like an idiot. Even though I was telling the truth, and I tried to gently take a stand, I felt so weird telling the vice president of this whole company that, and you've done the same thing. This isn't about Randy Bray. You've probably done the same thing, maybe not with the vice president, but with friends or relatives, and they maybe tell an off-color joke or talk about somebody's husband or what was going on at the business or whatever else, and you just, oh, brother, okay? You don't want to feel like that, and yet, why? Because you want to get along. I understand that. I've been in those settings and probably didn't do it right from time to time. But we're saying here that in a relationship, whether it's friend with friend or spouse with spouse, hypocrisy willingly employs manipulation to achieve its ambition, but is destined to destroy covenant trust. Covenanted trust. And among friends, and especially in a marriage relationship, trust is absolutely essential. When that trust is violated, oh my, does it take a while to get it restored? Yes. Sometimes it never does. As a matter of fact, let me restate that. Oftentimes, it never is to its original degree. Now, it can be. It takes a lot of consistency and transparency, but it can. So hypocrisy willingly, all right? And unnecessary injury, what does it do? What does hypocrisy do? It's unnecessary injury. It seeks or is satisfied for resistances. Those are righteousness resistances to be silenced. If you have hypocrisy, or honesty without hypocrisy, or unnecessary injury, if you do have hypocrisy, then what it does is it tries to silence anything else, any resistance that's righteous. It tries to do that, and it tries to silence it. Why? Because it's shedding light. But what should we be doing in our relationships? What, friend with friend or spouse with spouse? Parent with young person? Young person with parent? What should it be about? It should be transparency and light. And when there is a problem, it should be, Lord, shed your light. However you want to do it, shed your light on what I'm doing. And if there's anything in that is not righteous in your eyes, Lord, if you show me, I'll run to it. I'll not run from it. I'll run to it. I hope that you will. But finally, in this little section, I simply put this, honesty with heart. Honesty with heart champions, honesty with heart champions the well-being of the other, even at personal cost. Honesty with heart. Now, we're not talking about, let me tell you how it really was. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about honesty. Now, the main topic here is honesty without hypocrisy or unnecessary injury. It's just saying, all right, there's nothing more important than our relationship with God and each other. Nothing. As spouse to spouse, or very few things, if it's friend to friend, very few things are as important as our walk with the Lord individually and our relationship with each other. There may be another higher priority as friend with friend, but with husband and wife, the only higher priority, not children, not grandchildren, but our walk with the Lord and our walk with each other. Because as soon as you violate that, everything else in priority is immediately transgressed. It's immediately trampled on. All right? So I hope that makes sense. So honesty with the heart champions the well-being of the other, even at personal cost. And usually when the personal cost is involved, if it's done the right way, and even if at first the honesty is something that is delivered gently and kindly, and yet this, you want my opinion. You wouldn't want me to stretch it or to conceal it, would you? And the answer, if they told the truth, would probably be, yeah, I would rather you do that than tell me what's honest when it hurts. But the truth is, when it's given in the right way, at the right time, for the right reason, in the right place, it's called virtuous. When it's done in a virtuous manner, then God can always use it. He doesn't have to, okay, well, this part of it's, okay, here, use this. No, can't use that part. Shut it to the side, all right? Here's what Randy said, or here's what said. But when we do it with heart, it's honest before the Lord, and our ambition is for the other's well-being, regardless of what they think of us, but we do it in a godly way. Then the Holy Spirit, even if they get upset, the Holy Spirit can take the lock, stock and barrels, we got the definition of that last time, and take it to their hearts. Long after, maybe they're over in another room, maybe they're just mad as they can be, but the Holy Spirit can take it and deliver it in its wholeness, in the totality of it, and say, you know what? They were telling the truth. He or she was telling the truth. Friend with friend, spouse with spouse. All right, very quickly, let's go on to the next one, and that's objectivity. And it says, objectivity without a critical spirit because of imposition or irritation. We're talking about the six prerequisites for promoting biblical and blessed marriages. We may have some that don't have the notes with you tonight. So this is the main topic, is six prerequisites for promoting biblical and blessed marriages. All right, so here we are, objectivity without a critical spirit because of imposition or irritation. Oftentimes, a critical spirit exists as domination's voice. Okay, it's just the Bray way of thinking about it, all right? Which my thinking is sometimes odd. No amens there. All right. But when we're talking about a critical spirit, oftentimes the person with the critical spirit wants to dominate. Dominate the conversation, dominate the relationship, dominate whatever it is, and you're bugging me and whatever it is. But no, wait a minute. We've already talked about honesty. We'll come back to that in a little bit later. But objectivity, that means you see things as they really are, all right? Now, some people champion that and say, that is my gift. When I look at the gifts that the Lord's given me, I can see right through things. Laser focus I have, okay, as a gift. And the truth is, they may have an ability. But when you take that ability and you allow the old devil to lift it up in pride, then it's defiled like the milk with the impure milk. Doesn't make the impure more pure. It makes the pure impure. And when you have, when you have objectivity, the ability to see things clearly, but you match that with a critical spirit, then it can become what I call domination's voice, to where it just wants to be on top of the dog pile, where it wants to be number one, whether it's the husband to the wife to the husband, or friend with friend, or employee with employer, whatever the relationship. So even as we did the word association to start with, and that's the reason I did that, so that as we went through this, if we're talking about, well, maybe I'm not as objective as I ought to be. Okay, well, what's the opposite of that then? That means not thinking through things. That means not looking at it objectively and seeing the details and saying, wait a minute, I think there's a problem over here. No, there's no problem there. This is exactly right, or no, this is totally wrong. But when we don't do that, then we're not able to be used of God in someone else's life like He wants us to be. All right, so we're going to look at objectivity without a critical spirit because of imposition. They're imposing on it or just bother me. All right, now here's the way I put it. And again, just relaxing and not having to worry about writing it unless you want to. Honesty without objectivity promotes and champions personal preference without verification. Is there anything wrong with having personal? How many of you have personal preferences? Do you have personal preferences? That's everybody. All right, we all do. All right. All right. My personal preference is if I never see another avocado before the rapture, because they're not going to be in heaven. That's fine with me. All right. My point is, let me read it again, then I'll explain. Honesty. Here we have honesty. I'm honest. You know, I'm going to tell you how it is. I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to slight the truth. I'm going to tell you straight out. Just waist high and right across the plate. Honesty without objectivity promotes or champions personal preference without verification. You say, preacher, what in the world does that mean? Simply means this, that someone who's honest, yes, they're honest, but they're not objective in their honesty. The truth is, a person can be honest and be wrong. Is that right? Okay, sure they can. Well, here's what I believe, and I know it's the truth. Well, how do you know it's the truth? Well, I know this happened because. Well, how do you know it happened? Is it firsthand, secondhand, thirdhand? Reading between the lines, how do you know it? So honesty without objectivity, they need to be married like I've used many times, like two wheels on a bicycle. One may provide the modem or the motion, the movement, and the other provides the steering. But you need both if you and I are going to be a help to a spouse, help to a friend, help to a business. They need honesty with objectivity, because honesty without objectivity promotes personal preference without verification. And when we get to that place where we don't want to do our homework, ouch. I don't like to do homework sometimes. You know, I just want to, I know what I believe, I know what I think, and I just know I can put that thing together without reading the directions and whatever it is. And I find out very quickly, usually when I'm putting together one of those metal buildings or something like that, that well, maybe I better crank out the directions and read how it's supposed to be. And that's the point here, is in relationships, it doesn't usually stop there. Because when someone brings in verification, then the ones who are honest but without objectivity of being able to say, all right, now let me think it through before I really go any further. I better think this through again. Because here's what I thought, here's what I heard, but you come to a conclusion because you don't want to be looked like you don't know what you're talking about. I mean, I know it, I know it, and you know, I don't remember exactly where it came, but I do know that that's the way it is, and you just don't have it right. But then when somebody begins to offer, well, what about this? Then immediately the defensive posture takes place, and that's where arguments can become in. That's where blood pressure begins to rise. And when we're talking about relationships, friend with friend, husband with wife with husband, parent with child, child with parent, Honesty and objectivity need to work together. So honesty without objectivity promotes champions' personal preference without verification. But objectivity without honesty sees the detail but misses the heart. And taxes the spirit. I'm sorry, my eyes, I looked away from the page and it was blocked out for me. But it taxes the spirit. Let me do it again. I apologize. Objectivity without honesty sees the detail, but misses the heart and taxes the spirit. And so I just want to be objective. I just want to be objective. But without honesty in there, oh my, it just really, it misses the heart. And then finally on that, honesty with objectivity honesty with objectivity has companion intimacy and perpetual unity. Companions unity. Sorry about that. Let me get it again. Honesty with objectivity champions intimacy and perpetual unity. Perpetual means just ongoing. So when you have someone in a relationship, husband with wife, friend with friend, and you have objectivity and honesty, that's where iron sharpeneth iron, as a man sharpeneth the counsel of his friend. Both of them think they're right, do they not? Okay? You don't take iron against jello. Doesn't work very well, all right? You don't take, well, we can use a lot of illustrations, no. But when both of you are honest and objective, and when facts are entered into it, the one who is maybe less accurate begins to see, wait a minute, there's a chink in the armor here. Wait a minute, Ralph is maybe right on this thing. Or maybe Petunia over here is right on this thing. And when you do that, as husband and wife, as friend with friend, it champions intimacy of heart. Friend with friend. Friend with friend. But also not only intimacy, but unity. When you compromise those, when I compromise those, it disqualifies me for any of those things. Being repetitious here, but again, that's why I started with that silly antonym game, opposites, because they're mutually exclusive. Either we are this way before the Lord or we're this way. We're not kind of in the middle here. Sometimes, Lord, I'm objective and sometimes I'm hypocritical and sometimes I'm this. No. As soon as they're mixed and we allow ourselves to relax and we allow ourselves to kind of get swayed over here, when we're allowing ourselves to get that way, we find ourselves making excuses why we did, and then we've been massaged right into the wrong place. And then, consequently, we have the wrong kind of influence on those we love. I hope that makes sense. I hope it does. The last one on the page is obedience without inappropriate conditions. Obedience without inappropriate conditions. Inappropriate would be negotiating for matters of unity. And by the way, that's a glaring contradiction of the very terms, or the very term, inappropriate conditions. But we'll look at that next time because it's 6:00. And believe it or not, we're going to stop on time. Is that okay with everyone? All right, I looked at my Mickey Mouse over here and it said 6:04. All right. All right. I was tempted to keep going, but I won't because I said we're finished. But I hope... Folks, I pray, I try to pray diligently about what to teach. And whether we've got 5 people here or 500, that I want your homes to be exactly what God wants them to be. Whether you're a one-person home, and you go after it. Say, okay, I need to be objective. I need to be honest. I don't need to have a critical spirit. Good gracious, why would I want to do that? I walk around with my lips stuck out all the time. And it makes me look like I'm studious and I'm smart. And so I got to go, look, I got to frown all the time and just... Blah. No, it makes you look like a cranky old individual, okay? Instead of a wise individual who's thoughtful. Yes, can have fun, sure. But when serious things are presented, in a moment's time, you're able to go from frivolous to, okay, thoughtful. Okay, we can laugh another time. Right now, we've got to talk about something that needs wisdom. And God said, if any of you lack wisdom, and I don't want to come before God laughing and chewing my bubble gum and blowing bubbles. No, I want to come before God in this matter, very serious, and saying, Lord, I need your help. My sister's in trouble here. My brother's in trouble, or my spouse, my friend. And so that's the, for the lack of a better term, that's the genesis or the beginning that I prayed about back in December. Lord, how do you want me to go about doing this? If these people are going to be kind enough to let me be their pastor and their under-shepherd, Lord, part of it's preaching, part of it's teaching. But if I don't teach, we can have a good song service, and I'm all for that. And I'm looking forward on Sunday nights, I'll just be honest with you, I'm looking forward to every Sunday night we'll have 3 or 4 or 5 specials. I really am. I'm looking forward to that. I went to a church years and years ago in Greenville when I was in the academy at BJ. I went to Southside Baptist Church with Frank Garlock and all of that. Ooh, it was wonderful. Now, it wasn't an hour service either. It was about 1.5 to 2 hours, I think. But oh, what a service. And the special music, it wasn't a program, or it wasn't a, what do we call it, where you have just a lot of music, but a concert. It was music that had the heart of the scriptures involved in it. It was good and heartfelt, whether it was a men's quartet or a ladies' trio or an instrumental. But every bit of it took your heart to where when the Word of God was opened, oh, hearts were ready to feed on the Word of God. Would that be all right with you folks? Amen. Not for entertainment purposes, but just psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in our hearts to the Lord, speaking to ourselves in those. And so I'm looking forward to those days, but we're not quite there. And so we'll get there. And we appreciate Brother Drew and Miss Larissa and the others who help with that, and those who are in the choir, and those who make up your own song, whatever it is like I do up here half the time. And I'm just singing away, and I'm looking, and I'm seeing other people singing different words than I am. And so I just pray that you'll get on the right words, you know, and no, it's the other way around. If you'll join me in standing. If you know of anyone that needs me to come make a visit, for whatever reason, a neighbor, and you want to visit with me, I had someone ask me to come visit a neighbor this week, and so we went over, but they weren't home. It may be someone, we had some folks here this morning that evidently used to attend here years and years ago, and what a blessing to meet them. And so if it's someone who's discouraged, maybe they've been with us and they're discouraged, And you ask them, would it be okay if Pastor and I came, or Brother and Mrs. Bray came by to see you, or whatever? And you just let me know, and we'll just ask God to use us, whatever the need is, for salvation or for just encouragement, whatever it is. Okay, all right. Thank you for being with us tonight. Let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. Tell you what, before we do that, why don't we sing the little song that a lot of folks sing, a lot of young people sing, Thank You, Lord, for Saving My Soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. Did I quote that correctly? All right, I did. Very good. All right. Here we go. I'll start it in L minor. All right. Thank you, Lord, for saving. Good. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving what? Sing it with me. Thy great salvation, so rich. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you for being here tonight. I love you, folks. And I pray God's blessing on you as you have this week. If we can help you any way in the world, let me know. Pray for the Mills. Pray for Brother Curtin. Pray for Miss Vicky, who's doing better. And I left somebody out. Who is it? The Moody's, thank you. And pray for the Moody's. Let's pray. And I'm sorry? Yes. Oh, boy, I am glad somebody said that, or I would die 4 deaths before Miss Mary was finished with me. All right. So please remember, if you are registered, too late to register, but please go by. And let's see, I don't think, are the early voting, it's closed, isn't it? Okay, so it'll be Tuesday. All right. Well, I don't want to stand in line. All right. Would you rather stand in line with the wrong folks in ruling? All right. So let's make sure that we do. I can't tell you from the pulpit for whom to vote, but you do have in the back, you do have some voter guides. And what those are, they go through the various candidates, I think probably Democrat, Republican, Independent, and they tell you their positions on a number of issues like abortion and like this and like that and so forth. And so here's what I would tell you as your pastor, is to find those who most closely align with the scriptures. I'm not talking about party, but I'm talking about find those who make decisions that are most closely aligned with the biblical principles, whether they're saved or not. And that's the individual, those are the individuals for whom to say, you know what, I only have one vote, but I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. Please don't stay home. Please don't stay home. This country's in need of prayer, but also of us doing our part. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. How many of you have already voted? Okay, my goodness, a lot of folks. All right. Some of you just think that that's vote day. I'm going to be there, and that's good. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you. Excuse me, Lord. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for these principles that I simply gleaned from your scriptures, Lord. And Holy Spirit, thank you for helping me with those for my life, for my home. But Father, I pray that it'll go far beyond the braes. Not because I happen to write it. That's immaterial. What's important, Lord, I believe these are biblical principles that maybe an older couple can have as they model these for their younger people, maybe for their grandchildren, and others for various reasons in their relationships with coworkers, relationships with friends, that they don't just spar back and forth for the sake of sparring, but they do it as we've talked about tonight. Objectivity, yes, with honesty, yes, without a critical spirit, yes, so that we can help each other to grow in you. Lord, it's good for all of us. Well, thank you for that. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Please dismiss us with thy blessing. And on these folks, Lord, that are ill, and we have others that are ill. We thank you for Mrs. Wooten, who's been able to come home from the nursing home just this week. As Becky and I went to see her, she'd already left. And just a day or so before. And so we're grateful that she's home now, as well as others. We'll give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good night. The Lord bless you.